Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Now the time has come for leaving. Fear now we shall return. We were so glad we could make it, but so sad we gotta run. Well, it might be a long time till we raise another glass. You can rest assured that next time we'll have ourselves a laugh. Yeah, we'll have ourselves a laugh. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when. We all had a good time and we're sad to see it end. Good luck be with you. You'll go your way, I'll go mine. So until the next time, it's farewell and not goodbye.
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by SeatGeek. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. And we finish up our official 2024 draft coverage with our Giants defensive undrafted free agent class. We got 3/4 guys we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a kicker, and I got some kicker stats for you. I went through a wormhole of kicker stats. Justin, how are you? How are you feeling?
Good, man. I'm finally gonna put the X and get those tabs off. The last of my 2024 tabs on my computer will be gone today, and they will not be opened up until we do 2025 draft stuff way too early in a couple weeks. I'm good. Definitely the defensive UDFAs are more exciting, and I think that there's a better path, maybe a little bit more of a chance that they can make the roster than some of the offensive guys.
Yeah, I still think Jake Kubis, the offensive lineman at North Dakota State, has the best chance NFL-wise. But then 2 through 4, for me, are the 3 defensive guys that we have. Obviously, we're going to be talking draft. You know, we have our mailbag on Friday. It's going to be a lot of draft-related stuff. We're going to have Dan Snyder on the week after, most likely. We're going to have a lot of draft stuff. So we got a lot of stuff going on. Justin, before we get into these defensive undrafted free agents, first, if you're watching on YouTube, my ring light broke as we were getting ready to record, so now I got a dark side of my face. But this episode was brought to you by some special people who are seeing this first, and the special person this week is Andrew Nix. This is Bo Nix's cousin, who actually has a higher completion percentage. Justin, who is this highly efficient Patreon user?
He's also a New York Knicks fan. Go New York, go New York, go. Bobby Skinner playing your Indiana Pacers. What's the status of your Orlando Magic?
Currently winning game 7 while we record this.
As we record this, I want an update when we do a DraftKings read. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants, $2 a month, plus some of the tiers. Andrew Nix and a lot of other people get to watch us live while we record the shows. Bobby will send you stickers in the mail. He's back in Florida now, so he's probably doing that. And there's some shirt raffles a couple times a month. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. Thanks, patrons.
I'm glad you did.
You'll be glad you did.
All right, Justin, let's talk about these defensive undrafted free agents. And I want to talk about this guy first. Alex Johnson, a nickel corner out of UCLA. You look at, testing size-wise. Like, this is what you look for. 6 foot, 185. You could obviously add a little more weight and be happy. But 30 1/4 inch arms. And then the pro day testing is pretty solid. A 4.44 40, the Wendy's 40, the 37-inch vertical jump, 7 flat 3-cone drill. And he had production, right? Like, he didn't allow very many yards these last 2 years at UCLA, right? Like 4.4 yards per attempt last year, 4.1 the year before, and then had 5 interceptions this past season. And the interceptions were pretty good plays, too. Like, they were smart, good football. Obviously, there's, one versus Arizona where the QB just overthrows it. And then one panic throw versus Boise State. But the other 3 were, really nice interceptions where it's undercutting an underthrown ball, not getting caught up in a rub route, and undercutting, in zone coverage playing the flat. So there's some good stuff there. This, to me, is the best chance for the defensive players to make it is Alex Johnson. Because I just... He was the only undrafted free... Him and Jake Kubis are the only 2 undrafted free agents, Justin, that we looked at, where I'm like seventh round grade, right? Like that, those are guys where it's like, okay, I could have seen them going in the seventh round. Also, side note, Justin, I watched more UCLA defense film than I think any other film this go around with Darius Mwasau. There, you know, Gabriel, the Murphy brothers, Latu, some of the offensive linemen versus UCLA. I am well versed in UCLA defense this year.
Yeah. Here's currently the nickel corners that are on the roster right now, too. You have Cordell Flott. You have Andrew Phillips, who, you know, could be outside, inside, but they already said he's going to be in the slot primarily. Darnay Holmes, Aaron Robinson, Alex Johnson. I can see, like, Aaron Robinson doesn't exist in my mind because he's going to get hurt.
I don't think Johnson's making the roster, but if we were just eliminating the Giants depth chart, he's the best defensive UDFA to me.
I think he could. I mean, they actually do have bodies at slot corner because with Andrew Phillips and Cordell Flott, those are two, you know, those are two slot corners, bro. And then you also have Darnay Holmes, who I actually think could be better in this system than just a man coverage heavy system with Wink Martindale. So I think there's a chance. If Alex Johnson comes out here and he has a solid camp, I think that there's a chance. I want to go through some stats though, Bobby, because Alex Johnson this past year was a slot corner. And sometimes that's a little bit refreshing where you have a corner that plays a lot on the outside in college, and then you're like, oh, well, he's going to be he's smaller, he's projected to play the slot in the NFL. Kind of.
Yeah, we're not talking about a 5'8" guy where it's like, okay, nickel, like that's just what his position. He understands slot. He has a good enough frame to play outside in a pinch, but he is a slot corner.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll read you some stats since there's a little bit of a sample size here. So here's among players with at least 76 snaps in the slot that are also draft eligible players this past year. He has the ninth lowest yards allowed per snap. All right, well, let's bump up that snap count. Among players with 195 snaps in the slot, and again, draft eligible players, there were 19 players that qualified this year in that category. He had the second lowest yards allowed per snap, third in snaps per reception allowed, that's third lowest, third in passer rating allowed, second in interceptions in the slot behind Mike Sanders still with 5, third lowest in yak. He had the 7th most total snaps in the slot. Bobby, like, these are good numbers, you know, and he's not playing for a small school. He's playing against UCLA. He's playing against some, you know, offenses that are pretty solid. So these are good numbers from the slot, right?
Yeah, and his film is solid, right? There's things that you want to see get better, but with him, it's not like, oh man, he gives up big plays. Like, it's the opposite. Sometimes you want to see him. Like, here's my biggest negative with him is I want to see better burst out of his back pedal, because there's times, like, you think a guy has 5 interceptions. There was, like, multiple plays in games where I'm like, oh, here, because you know, watching it for the first time and you're watching him as an interception, like, oh, here it comes. And he ends up giving a catch, right? Like, versus Arizona, there's 2 throws, 1 on an out, where he's in great position. He pounces, he goes to undercut, and the receiver, Jacob Cowling, ends up catching it. And, you know, like a out route, right? But again, the interceptions are he's got the good speed to run with guys. You know, he's got good jam, like, you know, press technique. Now, his press doesn't really bring any pop, but it also doesn't put him behind. I think he's got to be a little more aggressive with that, because wide receivers can just time that up. But like, he stays square from off man coverage. The biggest issue is, again, not having like that great burst you look for out of the back pedal. And when in man coverage, he kind of just allows guys to keep good body positioning, especially so on the horizontal routes, right? Like, he gets a crosser, he's very happy just kind of letting that guy be in a position to box him out. But like, if he's in zone, he's passing things off, he's clearing traffic to avoid rub routes. Like, you know, but he keeps his eyes. Like, there's good fit. There's very, very good, solid film on him. And then you see some of the interceptions, right? Like the one I posted. They've tried and run a rub route with a fade. He avoids the rub, has an interception versus Washington State, right? He acts as if he's clearing with the vertical, undercuts the out route, quarterback throws it, bam, interception. And then there's other really nice plays that he has. Now, he's a below average run defender too, which is obviously a knock for a nickel corner too. So, like, there's obviously reasons he went undrafted, but, you know, for undrafted cornerback film, sometimes it can be really ugly, and you can also just be like, hey, just doesn't have the athletic thresholds to play in the NFL. Like, Jamon Green last year out of Michigan, right? Really liked some of his film. Like, the dude could press guys up, he was long. It's just he just doesn't have the athleticism to hang consistent in the NFL. With Alex Johnson, he does.
Yeah, I agree, and I definitely think he leaves a little too much cushion at times, whether that's in man, whether that's in zone. He really isn't a good tackler. I think he uses his arms more than a shoulder to tackle, and there are just some times where, like, I don't think he's going to be an impact against the run, which that's kind of like a prerequisite for a nickel corner in today's game where, you know, hey, if you don't want to run towards Dexter Lawrence, just run towards the outside, and that's what teams are going to do against us. He's been in college since 2018. He started with Oregon. I didn't find his official age, but then you have to infer if he started with Oregon in 2018, he has to be at least 23 years old. He has special teams experience and some success. I think I saw him, I was watching just, highlights to start. He had a blocked punt in there, but also it makes me concerned that if he's not a great tackler, you're going to put him on special teams. If he's a good special teamer in camp and they feel confident in him in that role, then I think obviously that's always these UDFA's best chances to make the roster. But the nice thing about Alex Johnson is that we're not just banking on that. Like, there's good stuff. There's some solid stuff out of the slot here, where even he doesn't allow a ton of catches. He has the ball production, and even some stuff. I tried in my brain to not compare him to Andrew Phillips because it's obvious Andrew Phillips with the talent was drafted, and this guy with his talent and with his upside was not drafted. But there is some good stuff here. Here's my question for you. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Is there a role? I saw some, I think Lance Zierlein might have put this out there. Is there a role for him at safety?
See, I thought that. There's no safety reps, but I did think that. The only thing that worries me from saying that clear cut is the lack of burst from the back pedal. But as far as, like, staying square, like, there was games where when teams would have, like, a good receiving tight end, they would get into dime and they would just put him on the tight end. I think that might have been Arizona a few times where they, like, when they would get into their dime package, they would just put him on the tight end and then have another guy playing that actual nickel corner versus slot wide receiver. So, yeah, I think there is. But at the same time, as much as safety is not a strength of the Giants, it also has some, like, depth at that position to where I don't think he's making the roster for the, unless injuries come into play, but I do think he's like a practice squad lock. But yes, he can definitely move and play safety if that's what you want out of him. Like, I did have that thought of him moving to safety, but there's just no reps of it. But like, what he does translate to that.
Would you be interested in camp if he's a guy that, and this is going to be third team, right? We're talking about third team. Hey, but we're still locked into it when we're watching.
Especially with John Giles.
Yeah. Would you be interested if the Giants start flirting him with slot corner or safety, or do you want him just competing at one spot? Like, hey, safety.
Oh, he's the perfect.
If the Giants wanted to be a safety.
He's the perfect try different things with type of guy. Okay. He's one, he's an undrafted free agent. There's no investment into him. At both positions, it's an uphill battle to make the roster anyways. Like, yeah, try different things with him. Because there is talent there. There is production there. There is a guy who understands football there. Like, yeah, him and Jake Kubis, to me, are the best two UDFAs in this class. And I actually think it's by a pretty wide margin, right? Like,
yeah,
it's Kubis and Alex Johnson, and then I think there's a solid drop-off to the next guys.
Yeah, I would 100% agree.
How about that, Alex Johnson? How about UCLA? Let's freaking do this. All right, next, Justin. You know what's something I like about the defensive class? We're hitting the big school names, right? Like, it's just going to look better on the thumbnail. Like, we got UCLA. We got Oregon next. And then the next guy, I mean, he has the best schools all combined and out of the damn draft class. But first, we're going to look at Casey Rogers, defensive tackle out of Oregon, 6'4", 294 pounds, 32-inch arms. Good testing, a 4.84 40, 35-inch vertical, 4.51 shuttle, 25 bench press reps. In the past two years at Oregon, he's had 56 combined tackles, a sack and a half, and then six tackles for a loss. Justin, he is a two-year Nebraska player turned Oregon transfer who yeah. was the last New York Giant to at defensive tackle to do that.
A Nebraska to Oregon guy?
Yeah.
Like that exact path?
Yeah. Come on, man. This is.
I mean, was it Jordan Riley?
Yeah, it was Jordan Riley.
Yeah, which made me think like they probably. Well, no, this was maybe the same scout that saw Jordan Riley. Also saw Casey Rogers.
One of my favorite media clips out of last year was in the preseason, and they're asking the Giants D-line coach Andre Patterson about Jordan Riley. Like, yeah, basically said, yeah, his film sucked, but we met him in person. It's always about him. He was someone that we wanted to work with.
They also probably just saw how big he was.
Yeah, which is like, oh, that makes me kind of feel good because I was like, his film kind of sucks. Also a 7th-round defensive tackle. So again, a former lacrosse player and Nebraska transfer. So Casey Rogers can, I almost called him Casey Riley. Casey Rogers can frustrate me, Justin, because he has the athleticism, right? And he's an undersized defensive tackle who's less than 300 pounds. Like he's got quick feet, the above average athleticism of the defensive tackle spot. I think his strength is pretty like solid too. What drives me nuts about Rogers is that his pad level rises, right? Like he just consistently plays way too high. Where if he got his pad level down, it could have maybe doubled his production as a pass rusher, even though he's never going to be a good pass rusher in the NFL or even in college. He wasn't going to be some disruptor. He could have like gotten a lot better, like, you know, a lot higher pass rusher win rate on that. Just keep your pads down because he's got that quickness to be like a gap penetrator. He plays with good strength. You know, when he does get into a position to push the pocket, he does that well.
Yeah.
You know, but he doesn't work any pass rush moves really or string anything together. And then in the run game, like for a guy his size, he's a solid two gapper, right? Where he's going to strike, extend, and then read. And he's got good eyes in the run game, like solid instincts to go and find the football. And, you know, when he's facing angled down blocks, like he does a good job, stay square. Get hands, use that leverage. Like there's some good like football film that you wouldn't expect to see for like an undersized athletic penetrator type of guy. But that was my thing with him. It's like just get your damn pad level down because it just was consistently like just running straight up and down.
And Casey Rogers is inconsistent. that I think that's the biggest thing where you can see some plays where knockback power. I think that's what Andre Patterson, when talking about Jordan Riley, you know, the phrase knockback power gained some traction. And I think the knockback power is there at times for Casey Rogers. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but it's there. He gets out of his stance in a hurry. He gains an advantage early in some 1v1 situations. You see that he stacks and he sheds some guys at times. I also think there's one QB hit or sack that he has where he kind of like, he shows a little bend and he like flattens a little bit of a line.
Yeah.
You know, one of the main.
And you can use him in the stunt game because of that.
Yeah. Now, here's the main thing. He's already 25. He's going to be 26 in December. Now, you're not really thinking about
that.
Seems
like every defensive tackle we bring in is 25 years old.
Now, I'm not really thinking about that as like, oh, you know, your NFL career with the Giants, right? But I'm thinking about it from an evaluation standpoint. He's 25 years old playing against 20, 21, 22 years old, guys that are 22 years old. And then even if you're 23, like, wow, you're a little bit older, you know, sometimes a little bit older during the college year, right? Where you turn 24 in the offseason, maybe. So that's also my thing. You're already 25 years old. You're playing against guys that are much younger than you. You didn't even have a ton of production. He wasn't even a full-time starter with Oregon last year. And sometimes it's hard to watch a game of his because you're waiting for him to even be in the game. Like, I'm getting excited. All right, I'm going to see a Casey Rogers rep here. Let's see something good. Let's see something flashy. And he wasn't even in the game.
They rotated pretty heavily at Oregon.
And he also had a very high missed tackle rate at 26%, which usually you don't see defensive linemen with that high of a missed tackle rate. So I want consistency. That's the main thing that I think his film is missing. And when there's fun plays, whether that be against the run or against the pass, they are fun.
And that's where your point about the age does give me pause with him is because, like I said, like for someone his size, and I don't think he's the strongest guy in the world, like, he played strong at Oregon, right? Like, he two-gapped really well. When he got in position to push the pocket, he did that really well. But I don't think that's going to – I don't think he's going to be able to do that at the NFL anywhere near the same level, right? Which I just think is going to give him a hard time of making an NFL roster. And, like, hey, that's nice that you're athletic and stuff, but put together – like, use your hands as a pass rusher, because yeah, it's basically all just trying to shoot the gap. Just get into the gap, play with strength, and split those double teams. Like, I just – and again, like, 25 years old, you should have some of that stuff down. Now, the good part is that we do have an Andre Patterson who, that's what he's good at, right? We saw, again, last year, a seventh-round Oregon defensive tackle who were like, this film is not very good at all. And this, you know, Jordan Riley had a really good preseason, had some, you know, decent film when he got his shot in the regular season, even some good plays versus Jason Kelce, you know, when the season was coming to a close. So, his ceiling is fifth defensive tackle in Casey Rogers, and, you know, that's what we're getting out of undrafted free agent. It's just, there's those three things that I just want to see, right? Where it's just get your ass down, put together some pass rush moves, and then, you know, then the missed tackles, obviously, like you mentioned, you want to see those cleaned up. Because there was a couple plays, like you mentioned, where, oh, here it goes. Here's a nice Casey Rogers play, and the back ends up just, you know, scooting away because he's not able to cleanly wrap him up. But, like, the run game film to me is consistently good. The pass rush film is, why isn't this better type of stuff? Because it can be. We're not talking about a guy who's slow off the ball and lacks the athleticism. We're talking about a guy who does get off the ball quick, who does have the athleticism, but just needs to keep his ass down and actually work some pass rush moves.
Here's the huge question. The question that's on everybody's brain right now. People are screaming this from home. Bobby, who do you like better, Ryder Anderson or Casey Rogers?
Ooh.
I have a clear answer, and it is biased.
I'll say Ryder, right? Like, Ryder was a clear, hey, we call that move edge to defensive tackle. Shout out the Andrew Thomas interview podcast. It's very funny that, like, we interviewed Andrew Thomas, our first in-person interview, and I'm like, I'm more proud that we did a eval on Ryder Anderson and correctly.
We were right on it.
This guy has to go from edge to defensive line.
Yeah. Did we watch that? What was the timeline of us preparing for that?
We watched his film in my, like, hotel that where they had, like, dogs and people living there
in your Homewood Suites hotel that had no AC on it. It was hot as hell.
It went out of power. Very awkward, me and Justin walking into one of those suites with all these cameras and lighting.
That was the same hotel, by the way, that when my house burned down in 2011, that's where I stayed for 11 months.
I love that story. But yeah, I would go Ryder Anderson over Casey Rogers. Hey, and Ryder Anderson was a guy on the 53-man roster for a team that made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, that defensive tackle group was really bad depth-wise, but...
he made some plays.
You know, we're going into the season with Jordan Phillips as our second-best defensive tackle, right?
Yeah, it's concerning. There are some positions where you can't... With only six picks, you can't address everything. Now, I will say what makes me feel a little bit better is that, you know, we're not going into the season with Kayvon Thibodeau, Azeez Ojulari, Dexter Lawrence, and Jordan Phillips. We're going to the season with Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence. That's going to be the big three that's going to lead you, right? Maybe we'll see some more NASCAR stuff.
I love seeing NASCAR stuff. Justin, speaking of NASCAR stuff, why don't you talk to us about DraftKings while I hold the DraftKings NASCAR on the screen?
I'm talking formations, by the way. I'm not talking about the sport. If you didn't know, the 2007, the 2011 teams.
I'm talking about the sport.
Had four defensive ends on the field at one time, and they would call that the NASCAR package because those guys were fast. It's kind of crazy, like, listing all those defensive ends that they had, and, like, yeah, they could start for a lot of teams. Even Dave Tollefson should have gotten more run. Bottom of the ninth, two outs.
Fucking Giants Ring of Honor member and creator.
We got to have him on. Bottom of the ninth, two outs, bases full. We got to have him on, but he's not hunting. Fishing and loving every day. in Nebraska. Down three, the crowd is on their feet. The drama of baseball is real, and so is all the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook. From the first pitch to the final out, DraftKings has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting odds boosts, and so much more. And if you're new to DraftKings, you got to check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. DraftKings also has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting odds boosts, and so much more. All right, final thing, because you're not joining us for the Charlotte trip, right? You know, speaking of NASCAR and betting NASCAR, bet some winners. I like betting who the top five, because you have more of a shot at hitting that right for NASCAR. Will you even be coming up for a Charlotte show, or is that out?
This year. No, I can't do it. I mean, if the company pays for it, I'll do it.
All right. Well, we'll keep people posted. But I'll be in Charlotte if you wanna see me. I'm going from like Tuesday to next Monday. I'm making like a trip out of it.
I think next year we might do that.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code WORLD. New customers who bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code WORLD. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. Bobby Skinner, you'll be glad you did.
Magic are choking this. They're up by 10 at half. Paolo has 30 points. You know, it's the third quarter. They're down by two. They're down 12-point deficit in the third quarter. Figure it out, Orlando. I need something to enjoy. Let's talk about the last. Actually, no, he's not the last.
It's not the last one. What are you talking about?
Not the last. Right? I almost got emotional for no reason. The next guy, Justin, not the last guy, is Ovi Ogofu. Right? You look at the name, think it's going to be hard to pronounce. It's actually very easy. Ovi Ogofu. Edge out of LSU, Justin. 6'2", 248 pounds, 33-inch arms. His pro day testing was a 4.8 140, 34-inch vertical, 4.4 shuttle. A 7.223 cone drill and 20 bench press reps. I want to talk about this guy's college career. And by the way, this is not a guy who got zero run in his college career. He got consistently almost the same exact stats every year, at least sack-wise. From 2018 to 2020, he played for Notre Dame. Pretty big school, huh? From 2021 to 2022, he played for Texas. And then this past year, he played for LSU. That is a hell of a trio of colleges to play and again to actually play for, right? Like here are his sack totals the last 5 years, and then the playing time is fairly equal to 2.5, 2.5, 2, 2.5, 2.5. He's if there's anything that Ovi Ogofu is, he's consistent. But just having that like, collection of colleges is really nice for Ogofu. Ogofu might have like the best like single highlights out of this UDFA class versus like good talent, right? Like there's a play where he rips around the corner versus JC Latham for a sack in 2022 versus Alabama when he was with Texas. But you're just constantly wanting more, right? Like the athleticism for his size is average. The get off is average. The core strength to me is lacking. But what he does best is he has these just quick initial wins using his hands, right? Whether it's rip, he'll work a swim. You know, if there's a head-heavy offensive line, he'll bull and pull. He'll get that. He'll put that guy on his face, and he's got good lateral quickness. It's just that he never really has the conventional down in, down out edge type of wins as a pass rusher. Like he just never wins around the corner. Now I was watching him versus good competition of you know Alabama and Florida State and stuff, but he just never had a clean win around the corner, let alone a sack or a tackle for loss in the games that I had watched. And he just, with that size, he struggles with length, right? Once a blocker is engaged with him, he just cannot disengage as a pass rusher. And if he does have like a nice start to a rep, he just doesn't have that power that you want to finish what was a good start. Like it either has to be a quick initial win or bust with him. And then in the run game, I think is actually pretty solid. Like he gets into his blocks with good leverage and hands, you know, like, and he just has that hand. He doesn't have core power. But he does have hand power, right? He brings some pop to you and with hand quickness, and he can raise offensive line's pads. And like I said before, there's wrestlers like Tyler Steen and stuff where those guys are a little overeager in their run blocks, and he'll dump them. And that lateral quickness really shows up. When they're pulling at him, he's going to get flat. He's going to spill those. He's going to force you outside, and he has like really good discipline on the backside of runs. And he's got a lot of coverage experience. So this guy is someone who is just, it's a lot of average film. And then you're looking at a 6'2", 248 frame with average athleticism and lacking, you know, the strength that you need at that size. And it, you know, probably doesn't lead into much in the NFL, unfortunately.
He's 24 years old. And I think flashes, like he flashes with some really fun plays and some high, you know, some really good reps at times. I think Ovi Ogofu is going to be, has the potential to be in the fourth quarter, third quarter, a preseason good defensive player. Like that will make some plays, that will beat some tackles. He does use some moves at times. He does kind of do a good job.
Yeah, he's got good moves, and if he has a quick, like he shows you these quick wins. Like it's just, he's never going to be someone who consistently wins at the NFL level.
Right, right. And I think like my main note is high effort and motor player. And if that's like your biggest plus, not odds are you may not be that good if you're not like this plus athlete, right? That's why I think like when stuff breaks down, right? When you have a quarterback, when you have a running back, when you have somebody that doesn't necessarily know what they're doing in the fourth quarter of a preseason game, Ogofu's going to be there, and he's going to be playing like a bat out of hell. And I think he's going to make some fun plays. When somebody messes up a blocking assignment, I think he could be the guy that could take advantage of that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to watching him on the edge. I think you kind of nailed it. Again, high effort, motor player. He has some flashes of some really good stuff. He's not a plus athlete. He does have long arms, and I do think he uses those long arms really well, yeah. Whether that be as a pass rusher, but especially in the run game to kind of extend and then even shed sometimes. A lot of his run plays, the run stops were made when he was kind of like this backside defender and he wasn't blocked. I think you may see that a lot in the preseason too. So I'm looking forward to watching Ovi Ogofu in the preseason to see what he can do.
Yeah, he's definitely a better run defender than he is a pass rusher. Like that's where the best plays show up, is as a run defender. But you will, again, you'll see a flat, like again, J.C. Latham, that guy just went 7 foot, like the Giants took Malik Nabers. The next pick was J.C. Latham. Like he had a sack on Bryce Young. Bryce Young held onto the ball a little bit, where he gets low, he rips around the corner and gets himself a win. And he even had some like nice, you know, run reps versus J.C. Latham. Now, it was J.C. Latham was strong as hell and would stonewall him basically every other play in that film, but he was able to do that. He won't probably get this opportunity in the NFL, but if you moved him on the interior in a pass rush, like he can set up like hesitation moves working outside in and using that lateral quickness, but he's probably not going to get that opportunity in the NFL.
He does split double teams in pass pro. He kind of splits them down the middle and he gets kind of skinny with some long strides. I did notice that. So that was pretty fun. I've used the word fun a lot this episode because I'm trying to be nice about these UDFAs.
I mean, the guy's been a contributor for Notre Dame, Texas, and LSU.
It's a good run.
A resume to have. And now, the New York football Giants. So, you know, like you said, he's 24 years old. Just a crazy resume. I mean, his set. Yeah, his high for sacks the last 5 years is 2.5. His low is 2.
Yeah. He could have declared last year stemming away from Texas. And I, you know, he may have not gotten drafted, but he would have been a UDFA last year.
I know, Justin, we're about to talk about a kicker, so we're not technically done. And I think the NFL, I think media, like this was reported because of the COVID or whatever. This UDFA class sucks.
Yeah, I mean, didn't Joe Shane say that they had like was it something crazy like 170 or 70 or I think it was like over 100. 100 players went back to school that they had draft grades, like players with draft grades on them.
Well, it was the lowest amount of underclassmen to ever declare. You have like this COVID thing is starting to end. It was just, this was for the Giants specifically. I didn't look at every other team. This was the worst UDFA class. And I think it might have been around the league, Justin, because usually when we finish our draft, you know, when the draft ends, usually we can put together a list of like 10 UDFAs who we have like
not really no.
some decent knowledge on. This year, there was essentially four guys and maybe like a couple Senior Bowl names that stood out. You know, Gabriel Murphy was like the highest rated player I had be a UDFA who went to the Vikings. And even then, it's like, okay, well, he has the shortest arms ever for an edge, in NFL history. So there's like a lot working against him. After that, like I actually left together my best available left. Like Chigozie and you see him, Justin, right?
Yes.
Someone that, you know, the Giants visited with. He was the second, and he got the most guaranteed money for any UDFA this year. Let's see, and who else was remaining? So I had Gabriel Murphy as my... I only had four guys remaining. Gabriel Murphy was one. Come on, load for me. Chigozie, Dylan Johnson, the running back out of Washington. Curtis Jacobs, the Penn State linebacker. And then Charles Turner, the LSU center.
And Tejuan Palmer wound up getting drafted, right?
In the sixth round by the Cardinals.
Do we know where that kid from Virginia Tech who originally went to Nebraska, do we know where he went?
It was like Fidarius Payne or something like that.
Yes. Fidarius, something like that.
I don't know.
I'm curious myself.
Fidarius, Virginia Tech. Yeah, it was Fidarius Payne.
Texans.
Damn you, Texans. So yeah, it was just a, like, and again, we've done the UDFA episode. This is our sixth year doing it. And this was definitely like the least fun class to talk about.
Yeah.
But we're not done yet. We got Jude McAtamney, the kicker out of Rutgers, Justin.
Hey, Jude.
By the way, we've got another Euro kicker. He's Irish. You know where the Irish people are from?
Ireland, Scotland.
Boston. No, they're from they are from Ireland. Wasn't the starting kicker for Rutgers in 2023, and he went 0-for-1 on his kicks on a 50-plus yarder. Was the starter in 2022, where he went 12-for-18 on field goals and 23-for-24 on extra points. But, Justin, he was the kickoff guy for Rutgers this past year, where he had a 62.8 kickoff distance average on 63 attempts in 2023, and his yards per return on kickoffs was 15.5. That was 8th in the nation. In the Nath Nation, this guy was the 8th best kickoff guy.
In the Nathan.
And then in 2022, in the kicks that he had, he was 12 of 18 total, so 67%. 3-for-3 on 20 to 29 yards. 4-for-7 on 30 to 39, 57%. That's not good. 5-for-6 on 40 to 49, 83%. That is really good. And then 0-for-2 on 50-plus yarders. This guy is Rutgers. This guy is Irish. This guy is a kicker. And Justin, special teams are starting to have a more role, bigger role in the NFL with these new kickoff rules. I'm just saying, you never know. But we kind of do have to have a plan eventually for Graham Gano. I'm not going to say Jude is that plan, but he did get injured last year.
He did. Fat Randy.
Lost the game because of that.
Fat Randy to the rescue. Seems like this is a place kicker move, if anything.
Yeah, it seems like it's just a leg to have during training camp.
Which does interest me, though. Like, the whole new rule... again, I've said it over and over again, and I can't say anything insightful about it. I actually do want to... I want to try. Maybe I'll go back to the XFL and see... Instead of just the one highlight that they kept showing over and over and over again of the, like, the reverse that they had in the XFL. Like, wow, look at the new rules. That has the potential to do this. But I'm like, okay, that was the only... This is the only highlight I'm seeing. Is there anything else cool that happened? So I actually do want to go back to the XFL when it was happening, I think, for a few weeks, and see those new rules, or maybe it was a full season. See what's happening here, and see maybe if I can learn anything about it. Because I think there's going to be somebody that's going to come up with a good strategy. This is how the NFL works. There's going to be somebody that's going to figure it out better than everybody else. It's going to work for... It's going to be like, oh, wow, look at this thing that's working. And then everybody else is going to start doing it, and then it's going to get figured out. So it's
Michael
a race
Gobert
to that
will
point.
Figure it out. You know who wouldn't have figured it out? Who is still a special teams coordinator with the Bucs? Jerome Henderson. Not Jerome Henderson, Thomas McGahee.
Don't say that.
I'm going to name search Thomas McGahee on Mondays and just see what Bucks fans are saying about him.
Okay.
Maybe after losses. After wins, they won't care. Justin, that's our defense. That's our UDFA class. That's our 2024 official draft coverage in the books.
I can't believe we stretched 40 minutes out of this, by the way.
Me either. since we're talking about kickers, though, you know, we talk about like, oh, Tommy DeVito won those games. Kickers made our draft picks a lot higher. Graham Gano versus the Jets. And then we missed the kick versus the Rams. I think that was Fat Randy who missed that kick. That's two wins taken off the board due to kickers.
And what did we finish? 5-6?
6-11. So we would have been 8-9 if our kicker wasn't injured.
Can you imagine? Or let's be real about this for a second. Oh, we should have lost more, didn't get the quarterback. If the Giants somehow got 8 wins with that pathetic fucking 2-8 start, that would be something that we're already not celebrating. We already gave Brian Daboll credit for keeping the locker room together, keeping the team together, and winning some games late down the stretch to kind of just keep composure of the organization and the locker room. If they somehow got to 8 wins, I would have been like, I would have been, fuck yeah. I would have been really happy with that.
That's sad to say. I think they're going to win I think they're going to be 8-9 this year. I think that's what I'm going to end up on.
I'm praying for that. Yes.
That sucks to pray for. Especially 3 years into a regime. But that is probably going to where I'm going to end up on my prediction this year is eight wins. You know, they won 6 this year, 10 if you include the playoff, you know, 9.5 with the tie the year before.
Stupid tie, yeah.
So, like, I'm kind of landing in the middle on that. I'm just so excited to see Malik Nabers. Like it's going to be fun. Like, it's going to be fun to watch him on offense. Still very worried about the offensive line, but that's, you know, as Giants fans, when haven't we been? You know, it's been a long time since we haven't had this.
It's a day that ends in a Y.
Yeah. But hey, Carmen Brasillo, he's going to fix everything.
Yep.
He's going to take trash and make it perfect. So that's our draft coverage. I know we did the whole appreciate you on the post-draft pod, but truly do appreciate you guys for everything. So we're going to do a mailbag on Friday. We're going to get back to our Tuesday-Friday schedule. We got our mailbag. So mailbag Friday. Going to talk with Dan Snyder, try and get him on, you know, get his thoughts on the organization as a whole right now. We've got the license plate guys softball game, Dexter Lawrence softball game. So make sure you're getting your tickets to that. Hopefully we can get some stuff set up for that. Appreciate you guys very much. We will see you on Friday with the mailbag pod. Until then, let's go Big Blue.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.